Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
As he wrapped up his storied career with NBC Sports that was going to accumulate. Is that the right word? No. What's the word I'm looking for there?
Culminate.
Culminate.
Yeah. Don't short
culminate.
Yourself.
Culminate. There it is again.
Culminate.
Checking up on the Braves, Falcons, Hawks, and Atlanta United.
Listen up.
Let's go around the 404 with Rick and John.
And your daily grammar lesson continues here on the Midday Party with Rick and John. I'm Rick Campbell. That's John Michaels. We're the home of the Hawks, home of the Falcons.
Yep.
Tomorrow night's game, John, against the L.A. Lakers. We'll be right here, pregame at 7 with Mike Conte. And the tip at 7:30, Steve Holman will
just the tip.
Do the stop it, John. I'm trying to professionally tease tomorrow night's game. With Steve Holman on the call at 7:30. He's in his 83rd year of doing play-by-play for our Atlanta Hawks. It's like 32nd year.
Yeah, and he was a little bit salty this week for three bad performances in a row from now. You come off a really good road trip where you go 4-3, and you're starting to say, all right, this thing's turning the corner. You're feeling good about yourself. Yeah, not so much.
Our Atlanta Hawks, ladies and gentlemen, don't ask me why I know this stat. It's just, I got a lot of random stats in my dome. Against the spread, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Against the spread, like -7, +7,
sure.
All that. Against the spread, just for people to understand. The Hawks are the worst home team in the NBA. 30th out of 30.
Right.
At covering the spread at home. And haven't we kind of fit the eye test of that stat?
Mm-hmm.
Fourth quarter against Toronto, the roof caved in. You got blown out. Super blown out on Saturday night. Super, super, ultra ridiculously blown out yesterday. Love these guys. I'm hanging in there. This is not a playoff season and all that kind of stuff, so I get the process. But, John, what's frustrating is the lack of defense.
Right.
Like,
it's terrible.
Like, we can cheer. I said this last week. We can cheer for the Hawks. It's okay. And I'm going to give you math that, again, cements the fact that you can cheer for the Hawks. It's not that we're not losing that many ping pong balls in the Zion chase. We're really not. You can cheer for these guys. So when you're cheering for them, John, and you're in a game, and it's open jump shot, open jump shot, open jump. The Charlotte Hornets had 8 three-pointers in the first quarter on Saturday night. 8 in a quarter on the road. And they're not that good of a shooting team.
No.
I mean, they're okay, but they're not that good. They're not the damn Warriors. So, John, it's the lack of defense. And I don't want to do this.
Do it. Come on, Rick. Do it.
You know, John Collins is our guy.
He is.
But I got to call out two guys.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm going to call out one guy right now because I've done the math on him. John Collins. He's an amazing player. I love him. But defensively, he ain't bringing it, man. Defensively, my guy John Collins ain't bringing it. His offensive rating, John, per 100 possessions is a gaudy 122.
Okay.
It's a big old number.
Mm-hmm.
So per 100 possessions, I think that's points when you're on the floor per 100 possessions.
Is that like that stat that Knox brought up, the wins over walks if you
it's care, weird.
If you have a batting helmet on mm-hmm. or some nonsense
yeah,
like that?
It's a metric, but just understand that that's a very high offensive rating. His defensive rating is 115. And you're like, ooh, that's a big number. That's a, no, not so much. Rudy Gobert this year, defensive rating is 100.
Okay.
So that's where the best of the best are. Draymond Green this year is at 105.
Mm-hmm.
Anthony Davis, great defensive player, is at 105.
Where's Paul George?
John Collins, I'll look him up in a second. I'm looking at like power forward center types.
Okay.
But I'll look up George because I bet it's a great number. John Collins is at 115.
Not good.
So Gobert at 100, the other two guys at 105, our guy John Collins at 115. Again, I love him. I know this is a developmental thing. He's not going to be a perfect, complete player this early in his career. But I need him getting off the floor and blocking shots. We need rim protection.
Mm-hmm.
We need more hustle. And he's really the guy. And Trae Young, guys and girls, he's going to be a turnstile on defense for quite a while, maybe his entire career. I'm sorry. He just is. Do you see Trae Young being a lockdown or contain the opposite point guard guy?
No.
I look at Trae Young as an unbelievable offensive point guard, and whatever I get on defense is gravy. But from John Collins, you're in the hole, man. You're manning the paint. I need more defense out of our guy.
Well, here's the thing. If you're talking about the Hawks, I'm going to morph this into looking ahead talk. If you watch the game, and I don't know how much you watched over the weekend of Duke and Virginia.
I have it DVR'd. I was unable to watch it.
Really good basketball game. Duke shot. If Duke shoots like this, they will win the national championship. It won't be close. 62% from the three.
Nice.
They shot 13 of 21. R.J. Barrett, 6 of 10 from downtown. Cam Reddish, 5 of 8. From downtown, Zion took his only three. Zion had a block where a Virginia guy has an open three in the corner, and Zion might be one step outside the painted area, to steal a quote from Hubie Brown. He takes one step and jumps and blocks the three, a corner three. The Hawks losing games right now stinks because we saw that nice road trip that they had. But when I look at those two kids from Duke, and I dare to dream what they're going to look like at the next level, especially the one with the name Zion. I love you, Hawks. If you go on like a 10-game losing streak, as much as it's going to hurt Coach Pierce and everybody else, if it gets us to one of those dudes, I ain't mad. I put a Twitter poll up, and this is a little bit off the 404 ranking, but because we're talking Hawks and Duke's involved, I said if the NCAA tournament started right now, are you taking Duke or the field?
I'm taking the field.
I'm taking Duke. And I know Tennessee is balling. Virginia has two losses on the year. They're both to Duke. Gonzaga beat Duke early in the year. They're really good. You look at some of the other teams, you know, Houston's won a bunch of games in a row. You see a bunch of teams that have opportunities. This Duke team's special. The only thing that scares you with Duke, they play seven guys and that's it. But three of them are going to be lottery. So heck, four of them may be lottery selections.
Yeah, Trae Jones is pretty good, too, their point guard. Not a good rebounding team.
Nope.
From what I've seen.
Not a great three-point shooting.
Right. And Florida State killed him with length. Mm-hmm. And that was the game where Cam Reddish won on the last second shot. But I will be picking against Duke in this tournament. And it's not a diss of this Duke team, John. What it is me with my picks in the tournament. Mm-hmm. I'm always going for the future NBA guys because I'm an NBA guy and, like, I'm scouting these guys for the next level and mock drafts and all that kind of stuff. So I'm putting the wrong lens on this. You need to – it's all about, you know, guard play, playing together, great coaching, experience, you know, a team that's been through some tournaments and cut their teeth a little bit. That's typically what it is about. Mm-hmm. And to me, Gonzaga checks all the boxes. Been there, done that, except win it all. You've got future NBA guys. You're deep. You're well-coached. You've got guard play. You've got shooting. You've got rebounding. And by the way, if R.J. Hochimura comes here, if we have, you know, the fifth pick or whatever and we get him, he is a defensive player.
Yeah.
Now, he's a two-way player. He can score, but he's a rim protector. He can slide his feet and move laterally and guard a guy. Like, I think he would be a tremendous pick for our Hawks. Now, the hope is we get a Zion or an RJ, and then maybe with that Dallas pick at 6 or 7, boom, we can get a Hochimura, right? And maybe add two of those guys. We dare to dream around here.
Well, we also were talking earlier about some college football stuff. Justin Fields gets his waiver. He's going to go to Ohio State immediately. You know, I said, I called it like I see it. He transferred because he didn't win his job here. Tate Martell transferred because he was going to lose his job to Justin Fields. Jalen Hurt transferred because he couldn't beat out Tua Tagovailoa. But you morph this into a question about Justin Fields or Jake Fromm. Who would be the first to win a national title? It's funny, Andy Bunker hit me up on text, and he said, what, no Jacob Eason option? I said, yeah, there's no Jacob
Good
Eason.
Good call, Andy.
No Jacob Eason
Good
option,
call.
Just like there's no Tate Martell option on there either.
I like the Jacob Eason option. I should have done that. It is 65% Fromm right now, 35% Fields. At 92.9 The Game, at Rick and John 929. Hit me up on my personal account. Not going to be very hard for you guys to figure it out. 173 votes here in just under 2 hours, and Jake Fromm's killing it. Two-thirds of the vote. And I did tag at Football UGA and at Ohio State FB to play both sides. I'm trying to get Ohio State fans and UGA fans to vote right now. Jake Fromm's running away with it.
I could take such an easy shot at Ohio State, but I'm not. It's February.
Why not, dude?
It's Valentine's week. We all got to be lovers this week.
Why? But it's not Valentine's Day yet. It's Monday. Not.
Okay, well, I'll take the shot. Most
take
of the Ohio
shot.
State fans are probably still sleeping. They work overnight or, you know, don't have jobs.
Shots fired. Stacking boxes, huh?
or maybe they're unemployed. Who knows?
Was that the shot?
Yeah, that's all I got.
That was it?
That's it. Just
thought you were going to take like a legitimate college football shot at Ohio State.
No, I mean, Purdue's not around, so they don't have to run scared right now.
Or Iowa. That's
what's up. Or name some other slappy in the Big Ten.
John and I had Illinois. Man, it drives me crazy when people say Illinois.
Do people actually say that?
There's some people that say that.
All right, what drives you more crazy, Illinois or somebody that says Salmon?
Salmon.
Because it's salmon.
Like if the people that call salmon salmon, do they also call it filet mignon? Like, do you pronounce words so phonetically that that's what comes out?
You know, when I'm waiting tables and somebody would order the salmon, I was like, well, I'm not getting a tip from this table.
Wow.
Way to paint with a broad brush right there.
It's funny because it's true.
Oh, my God. Not the salmon. Could I have the chicken?
Go to the what?
Could I have the chicken, please?
Go to Publix. I'm going to get 2 pounds of salmon.
But John and I had a debate. Look, I am...
Or tilapia.
I'll have the tilapia, please.
Yeah, I'll take the tilapia.
I'll have it blackened, too.
Hey, Sean, okay. Do you like salmon or salmon?
Oh, my God. Sean Thompson, APD, a.k.a. the underboss.
Salmon, man. But you know what's worse than Illinois is? People that say West Wisconsin.
That is Does somebody word. Really
Brett
say
Musburger
that?
All the time. We're here at Camp Randall. It's West Wisconsin. It's
no E. No, it's not West.
No E.
It's West Virginia. It's not West Wisconsin. That's funny.
Oh, my God.
Do you say the extra T in Atlanta?
No, it's Atlanta.
Somebody said if you're from here and you say the extra T, you're wrong.
It's not Hotlanta either.
It's not Hotlanta, but it's Atlanta.
Nobody said that since 1993.
It's not Atlanta.
It is Atlanta.
A-T-L-A-N-N-A. There's a T there.
Eh.
Welcome to Atlanta.
Atlanta.
I'm born and raised here, and I welcome to Atlanta.
I talk
fast.
There's
a T. Where are you from?
It's Atlanta.
If you're talking about, I'm from Atlanta. Who's Atlanta? Who's that? What's her name?
Right where I live.
Who's Atlanta?
That's Alana.
No, I'm from Atlanta.
Or Alanis.
Preacher Man, do you say it with both T's?
Preacher Man, how do you say Atlanta?
Atlanta.
See, he says just like I do.
The Atlanta Braves.
No, I heard a T in there from Preacher
Atlanta.
Man.
You hear the N and T.
So you do the T.
It's Atlanta.
At Rick and
John. So all four of us do the T.
No, but I don't go Atlanta.
Atlanta.
I don't emphasize. It's Atlanta.
So is that a Southern drawl thing where the drawl makes it hard to get the T out at the end of the word?
No, because we're lazy and we talk fast.
Yeah, we talk. That's okay. What it is.
Okay.
I mean, we all agree it's never Hotlanta.
No, anybody that calls it Hotlanta has never been here.
Yeah, that's a morning show from Poughkeepsie in town from the Super Bowl.
We are
in Hotlanta, time for the Super Bowl.
Let me give you another tip. If you're in San Francisco, don't call it Frisco.
They don't like that?
They hate that. Call it San Fran, call it SF, call it San Francisco. Do not call it Frisco.
I never knew that.
I've just found that out. They like bristle. Like when it's the Hotlanta of San Francisco.
So do you say Minnesota or just Minnesota?
Minnesota. Yeah. So I guess I do kind of emphasize the O a little bit.
Yeah, it's more of a D.
Thank God I do not have the Minnesota accent. Like I don't know if I'd have the NBA TV job. You know, we're worldwide over there. I don't know if I was like talking like they did in the movie Fargo. I'm not sure NBA TV would have made me an anchor.
They'd ship you up to Canada because that's how you talk.
Oh, there you
right,
go.
That
there
is
go.
True.
With the organization,
you could be working at the Sky. Was it Sky TV up there?
You know, the Toronto Maple Leafs have really cranked up their offense this year. Preacher Matt's laughing. He knows that. I'm not dissing, but that's literally.
So
they
Ryan
really emphasize the O's up there.
Ryan Cameron would say, that foul is offensive.
He would. He would.
Luka Doncic.
He would He would also say, Trey TL, 4-3.
He would
all right,
do
Rick
that.
And John, 929. How do you say it? Atlanta or Atlanta?
And then we got to add, and then say Salmon or Salmon.
I don't want to know the people that call it Salmon.
Why?
I can understand Atlanta because we're lazy and we talk fast. And adding that extra is too, we don't have time.
So you
for.
Say the T, both teams.
Home of the Atlanta Braves.
Yeah.
Home of the Atlanta Falcons.
So you're not, you
home
know what I'm saying? Home
United.
Of the Atlanta Braves?
It's not home of the Atlanta Braves. It's not home of the Atlanta Falcons. Home of the Atlanta United.
I
home of the
Atlanta.
Atlanta Hawks.
Nah, it's too much.
It's not home of the Atlanta Hawks. Who's Atlanta? Who is Atlanta?
Where we live.
Who is she? I want to meet this girl.
Atlanta Morissette.
Yeah.
Isn't it ironic?
Didn't you have a Jagged Little Pill one time? Isn't that her song? I don't know. She had
you know who's a good-looking woman? You know who is an absolutely gorgeous human being is Alicia Keys.
Yeah, I could have
told
you.
Holy crap, is she easy on the eyes. And I mean, no disrespect. I mean, just she is a gorgeous, gorgeous woman, man.
It's 2019. You're just not getting that.
I don't know. I saw some promos for the Grammys. I certainly didn't watch it. And she's on there. I'm like, Just like, you know, like not lusting, but just like, damn, she is gorgeous.
Back in, when did she come out? 2000 or 2001, somewhere in there. I remember sleeping on my couch, and this was when BET used to have one of their countdown shows at about 4:30, and I watched it every day because it was all the music videos. And her song, Fallen, came on. And you know how you're sleeping and you hear something, you go, I've never heard that before. What is that? And I hear it, and I look up, and I see, you know, this beautiful woman on TV just walking around singing this. I said, holy cow. Alicia Keys. I actually saw Alicia Keys at the Tabernacle in, like, 2003. Really good concert. And she plays the piano and does everything. She's super talented. And, yes, you're right, Rick. She is beautiful.
Two thumbs up, by the way, on Bohemian Rhapsody.
I thought you were going to say the Grammy.
Two vigorous thumbs up on Bohemian Rhapsody. Me and mm-hmm. Charity watched it last night. It's not that long. It's like 2 hours. It's not one of these like 3 hour Scorsese bits.
Mm-hmm.
Really good. If I told Preacher Man, if you like the Doors movie, it was just a great historical biography of the band Queen. Big fan of the movie.
This came on and woke me up out of my sleep. Great song. I'm surprised. Do you know this song?
No.
All right, we'll do an NFL bounce coming up. Never heard that at all? How many Grammys did this song win in this album?
Ask Mark, because I have no idea.
Mark watched the Grammys last night.
All
he used
I know
to work
is
at
a
pop station.
Gorgeous lady.
NFL bounce coming up next. What did the AAF do over the weekend? It was a big number. We'll talk about that next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You may be wondering about the Alliance of American Football. What the heck? There's some people talking about that. A little bit of buzz. A little bit of stuff on Twitter and the barbershop. Guys talking about, you know, Aaron Murray, Matt Sims, whole thing. Steve Spurrier, the head ball coach. But the ratings were fantastic. These guys are telling me that on Saturday night, the AAF had more viewers than the Rockets Thunder game on ABC. Prime time. Big old NBA showcase. And what else did it beat in the ratings? What were you guys?
It beat Duke and Virginia, big
that
college
is right.
basketball game, number two versus number three.
Look, I don't know how many non-Atlanta games I'm going to watch of the AAF, but it's football. We have a team, and I'm going to watch these games.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched Saturday night. Was not impressed with Kevin Coyle. I thought his decision making to not go for the fourth down. In the red zone in the first half, down 18-3 was a mistake. I thought his decision to go for it, fourth and one, on your own side of the field late in the first half was a mistake. Blew up in his face, led to the Orlando special touchdown that Steve Spurrier called. Matt Sims? John, look. There is a blog here in town. It's called Atlanta All Day. Have you heard of this?
I have not.
All right. Well, they're blogging.
Well, now I have.
They're blogging on the AAF, and... They're with me. They're already calling for Aaron Murray to get the starting job over Matt Sims.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Sims won the quarterback competition, surprisingly, and face planted on Saturday night. If Aaron Murray is not the quarterback of the Atlanta Legends to start their game next week, you're going to hear it from me.
Here's the thing, and I want to go back to the ratings side of it, and you're right. They did pull monster ratings. The XFL also, back in 2001, pulled monster ratings for their opening night. As a matter of fact, their ratings were even higher than what you had here. Now, remember, that was an NBC joint. Granted, the AAF was on...
Big CBS.
They were on Big CBS.
Big CBS.
But from that point on, from week one on, ratings just plummeted pretty quickly. Like, immediately it was fun. Okay, cool. This is something new. You've got... And they, as a matter of fact, I was trying to make sure, they pulled a 9.5
wow.
Nielsen rating for the
wow.
opener. I think the AAF pulled like a 3.1, which is still huge, beating out basketball and beating out college hoops as well. They pulled a 9.5 in the opener. The following week went down to 4.6, and then it just fell off the map. So for the AAF, here's the thing that you need to do. If you can keep eyes, and basically they're billing it right now as sort of a minor league to the NFL. These are guys that are trying to get back
That's
to the
exactly
NFL.
That's exactly what it is.
So if you can keep that interest going in the springtime and you can keep the ratings in the 2 or 3 range, you're going to be great. I just don't know that they're going to be able to keep up that traction when you get ready. Got to remember, last week was the Super Bowl. People are starved for football. All right, I'm going to give this a chance. It was okay football. It's football. It's better than no football. It wasn't anything close to the NFL, and it wasn't anything close to college football.
All right, so all of that is true. But I'm not as convinced as you that there is going to be like a trend of flagging viewership for the AAF. Couple of things, John. When was the USFL season?
XFL? It was a spring league.
Are you sure?
Yeah. February 3rd, 2001 was the opening night.
So they did the same thing right after the Super Bowl came up at the USFL. Okay, yep. So I was going to say maybe they were overlapping with the NFL, and that's why viewership was down. Okay, so strike that one off. The other thing, though, John, is when was that year? What year was that?
2001.
The USFL was in 2001?
The XFL.
XFL.
USFL was in the 80s.
Oh, damn. I'm completely I had USFL in the brain. You're talking about the XFL. All I know is this. I can't go in the past and talk about that. What I know about is 2019. And I know that there are a lot more sports fans who are like detail oriented and like want to know more, want to watch more than back in 2001. You know what I mean? Like the sports landscape is totally different. You have all these CBS Sports Network, NBC sure. Sports Network, blah, 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 FS1, right? You've got all these sports networks because there's all this sports. So sports has just exploded to the point where I think that they are going to maintain the ratings. It may not be that good the whole time, but I don't think it's going to go from a 3.1 or 3 million viewers or whatever they had like, and just keep dropping each week. I think they're going to maintain some pretty consistent ratings here.
I hope they do, because I'd like to see something that we could be interested in February through April or May. It's a 10-week regular season. A lot of these guys, again, are going to try to catapult themselves from here, and whether it's Orlando or Atlanta or any of these other ones, and then get themselves into the market to go back to the NFL, at least get a tryout. One of the things people talked about with the USFL, because the USFL, if I remember correctly, started in like April and went into June or July. Now, in the original part, you either were a USFL player or you were an NFL guy. And that's where you had Herschel Walker, Jim Kelly, Steve Young. These guys played USFL and didn't play in the NFL. When the league tried to go head-to-head, and if you've ever went back and watched that USFL 30 for 30, which is fascinating, the brainchild of the owner of the New York, New Jersey Generals at the time, one Donald Trump, thought it was a good idea to go head-to-head with the NFL, and that's when the league just completely died. Had they stayed a spring league and were able to keep the amount of, because they were, at the time, they were paying money that was equal or bigger than the NFL was, and that's why guys like Steve Young and Jim Kelly and all these guys went to the USFL. Had they been able to keep that, the USFL had a chance to stay around. When they tried to go head-to-head with the giant that was the NFL, they had no chance. This league in particular, if they keep a good quality football, and I thought the football was okay the other day, but if they can get a little bit better quality football, people will continue to watch. I don't think they'll keep that 3.1, though.
They might not, but I don't think it's going to fall off the table and into a minuscule amount. Here is what the AAF was. And I didn't watch all the games. I watched our game, Atlanta Legends versus the Orlando Apollos. It is the second half of an NFL preseason game.
That's pretty much what it is.
It's exactly what it is. It's the guys that you see in the second half on the fringe. Maybe they make the roster. Probably don't. And so that's what it is. So you've got to be a hardcore. You've got to be a real football nerd to get into this. And I'm a real football nerd, so I get into this. Think about it. Like Trent Richardson.
He played for the Birmingham.
Had two touchdowns. I was joking with a buddy of mine. We're talking 23 carries, 58 yards, two touchdowns. And I said, well, nothing has changed with his paltry yards per carry average from the NFL to the AAF. Christian Hackenberg, remember him?
Trash.
We'd always talk about him in the NFL bounce, hitting reporters on the sidelines with errant passes. Well, the headline reads right here, Hackenberg as bad in AAF as he was in the NFL, team gets shut out. So there are names that you know. Denard Robinson, remember him, the Michigan quarterback,
yeah,
Jacksonville running back. He is on the Atlanta Legends team.
Okay.
And apparently he's atop their depth chart at running back, but he was a little bit nicked up. And so a guy named Folston was running the rock with the first team for our Atlanta Legends.
Here's what I would give advice to as they move forward. And I know they've tried to regionalize a lot of these teams. And, yeah, if Birmingham had three or four guys that were Alabama players, cool. The Atlanta Legends, obviously, Aaron Murray is the draw. What you do after the draft, when guys don't get drafted or when they get cut from the NFL, you find the former Georgia player. You find the former Georgia Tech player.
They have Quincy Maje on the team.
You get the Georgia States, the Georgia Southern. No, it's Maje.
It's Maje.
You get the Kennesaw. If you keep it localized, that's how you'll keep people interested. You go out and lose 40-6, and you got guys that are from Jacksonville and Mesquite, Texas, you're going to have people that turn that away real quickly.
You know who's on the Atlanta Legends?
Who's that?
My boy, Irvin Phillips.
Okay.
Remember
from
him?
Syracuse.
Syracuse wide receiver, caught a million balls. Dropped him. I picked him up. He flourished for me two years ago in college football fantasy.
I just didn't have room for
him. He's on the Atlanta Legends.
Is Salmon Jones on your team? Mark's got a poll up at Rick and John 929. Is it Atlanta or Atlanta?
Right now, Atlanta, I don't know who she is, but she's winning with 57%, 43% saying it's Atlanta. Because you do pronounce it. I'm not saying you have to say Atlanta, but it's Atlanta.
Atlanta.
It's
Atlanta.
Like,
it's like in that Atlanta. What's the movie with Jennifer Love Hewitt where the girl, and he goes, Amanda.
Can't hardly wait,
which I have on DVD.
Jennifer Love Hewitt?
Yeah.
Hot.
Yeah.
A couple of texts coming in saying, if you say that second T, then you're wrong. Mm-hmm. Only transplants pronounce it with a T.
Huh. That's Mark Owens.
Guilty as charged.
I'm sorry I know how to pronounce the name of the city I live in.
Guilty as charged for me.
I've been here longer than all of y'all. And I know how to say it. It's Atlanta. You know, I say the Atlanta Falcons.
Atlanta Falcons.
There you go.
No, I say
what's the name of the basketball team?
Atlanta Hawks.
There you go. It's not the Atlanta, but Atlanta Hawks.
I didn't say Atlanta. I said Atlanta Hawks.
You don't have to say tuh. Atlanta Hawks.
I agree with this. I voted for the second one. It's Atlanta.
Yeah, stupid Floridian.
Well, I am. Ugh. We all know that. By the way, and what's the percentage on that?
This is the most knuckleheadish poll we've ever done, by the way.
I disagree. We've had way knuckleheaderier polls.
Like what?
I don't know.
There's
real or fake Lindsay Pellis. I mean, we've had stupid stuff like that.
Okay. They're real.
I'm going to take a little offense here with David LaCroix's response. Uh-huh. Of course, super white bro country Owens pronounces the other T in Atlanta. Probably says chitterlings instead of chitlins. Listen, you can call me a lot, but don't you call me a fan of bro country, all right? You can come at me with the way I say Atlanta.
I thought you were a fan of bro country.
I like old school country.
You like bro country.
Outlaw country, right?
I like red dirt country. Yeah.
What the hell's red dirt
country? I went
country?
To Alan Jackson. Tell me it doesn't. It's that's the
we
most
We don't know
boring.
Who that is,
Look,
Mark.
Exactly. Mark likes his country stars to stand at the mic in the middle of the stage and
with
not
a guitar.
Freaking move and the entire move. Time.
There's no pyro. There's no auto-tune.
There's no line
girls.
Dance to it.
There may be a line dance that breaks out. Some people are moshing. We're line dancing.
By the way, Rayview Atlanta tweeted us and said, I know people that say Atlanta. Arthur Blank says Atlanta.
Yeah,
Mr. Blank can get away with it.
You know, they're from the Northeast. Mm-hmm. Okay, because people from the Northeast put an R at the end of a word that ends with a noun, or pardon me, with a vowel, and they don't say the R. Like if you say Porter, like Michael Porter, it'd be Michael Porta. They don't say the R at the end of words, but they will add an R to the end of words that end with an A or a vowel. How about
Arthur
that?
Blank actually bought the name Atlanta and changed it to Atlanta.
Yeah.
Right? He's got that much money. Hell, I'm just going to start calling it Terminus from here on out. The original name is.
Do you remember Peter Vesey back in the day? It was always like the Atlanta Hawks.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's just a Northeast thing, man.
Real quick, Todd Grantham, Florida defensive coordinator. He's in line to take the Bengals' DC job. I told you he wouldn't be long.
He's going to be back in the NFL.
Yeah,
huh?
He's not staying anywhere a long time. Preacher Man, he stays here pretty much 4 hours a day. From the Bible coming up next.
All right, we got some more news from the AAF. And will Steve Kerr get dinged for tampering? That's all coming up next.
Rick Hamlin, John Michaels for the Midday Party here on the home of the Falcons. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, home of the Hawks and Atlanta United. And Preacher Man, I couldn't help but notice that Love Handle Man himself, Phil Mickelson, won the Pebble Beach. And I asked you how long it had been since he had won a tournament, and what did you say?
I said it had been a minute since he won a tournament, but he actually wanted to finish the tournament yesterday. But Paul Casey, who he was playing with in the final round.
That's your boy.
Not my boy. Philly, I'm a huge lefty. I like lefty. He's always been nice to the crowd. He always plays to the crowd. He's always friendly. But he wanted to finish the round yesterday. They had two holes to play. Two. Mm-hmm. Two holes to play. Casey wouldn't play, said it was too dark.
Was it too dark?
It might have been a little dark. It was almost 6 o'clock on the West Coast, so it was probably getting there.
Had the sun gone down over the horizon?
Yeah, I think so.
So he might have had a point. But I was talking with Preacher Man. I'm like, was he soft? And what did you say?
Yeah, absolutely. Just finish the round. Nobody want. Why would you want to come back at 8 o'clock in the morning to play
That's
two holes?
That's a good point by you. That's a good point.
His official name is It's Philly Man Boobs.
Well, how much did he win? 1.5 or some big old purse for the Pebble Beach, right?
Yeah, it's a nice purse. It's a million plus.
Nice.
I mean, all those, you know, thanks to Tiger coming to the golf and raising the price of purses.
Was Tiger in that tournament?
He was not. He didn't play.
Chilling.
Has he started the season yet?
Yeah, he played like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, I think he where did he play though?
They played one of those.
Because this is what they call the West Coast swing,
right?
Because they always start the season in Hawaii. And then they kind of move, and then they went to Phoenix. They played the Waste Management Open, where they had the par 316, which is like where all the drunk people are.
Right.
And then, you know, the Pebble Beach, obviously, and they'll just start shifting further east.
So we have kind of made an idea, before we get to From the Bible real quick. Terry Treat is coming up May 9th through the 11th. Mark and I played golf out there last time with Mike Bell. I'm not sure who's going to leave early, but do we put together a little golf outing before Terry Treat gets going? Will you bring the sticks?
I will.
Preacher man, you'll stick us?
I have there's sticks in my garage. I can pull them out. Okay. I might have to dust them off a little bit, but yeah.
I'm with Preacher man. I'm gonna have to clean those babies up.
It's been a little while, you know, with all my activities and extracurricular with the kids. I don't have that much time to myself.
I don't like my putter. I like my 3-wood and I like my 5-wood. I've got like a hybrid.
I love my putter,
5-wood,
7-iron. I'll crack somebody with that.
Shotgun not driving.
I'm driving my own car.
No, I mean, because usually we go to the hotel and drop things off. Shotgun not driving to the hotel.
I'm not dropping anything off at the hotel. I'm just going straight to the golf course last time.
Cool, I'm going to Uber it to the golf course and ride home with you.
I love this shotgun not driving. We're at college again, right?
I know. Preacher man.
Swing oil, man. I need my swing oil.
True.
That never stopped John. All right, so as we all know, the AAF started over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they might want to reconsider a few things, such as miking up the quarterbacks. Because apparently they miked up one Christian Hackenberg, and all he did was cuss the entire time.
Yeah.
So much for that safety net, boys.
And most of them were when he had a bad throw.
Which is frequent. Matt Sims was running for a first down and dove, and his knee came down Welsh. It was obvious he didn't make the first down. And he got up, and you could hear him because he was mic'd up. He goes, "Hey, ref, that's a bad spot." And it was like, bro, it's not a bad spot at all. Matter of fact, it was spot on, Matt Sims. I want Aaron Murray under center. Are you with me?
Hey, sure.
John doesn't really care. He doesn't really.
We could have Lamont Murray under center for all I care.
How about Lamont Murray? Did you say Lamont
Murray?
Yeah,
that's what I said, Lamont Murray.
Preacher man, back to you.
All right, so given how harshly the NBA is punishing tampering these days, could Steve Kerr be getting a call from someone? I don't know. After his Warriors beat John's Heat Sunday night, Kerr put on his general manager hat and tried to help lure Bryce Harper to the Bay Area. This is what he said. He said, "It could be fun. I'd love to see it if Bryce Harper came here. Does my opinion matter? Bryce, come to the Giants. Let's go." You know, he said, just bring it on. It'd be exciting.
Yeah, I don't think he'll get in trouble for tampering in Major League Baseball, and I have no problem with that. Bryce Harper's still unsigned. Manny Machado, still unsigned. I'm, as a Heat fan, lose the rest of the games. They have a lottery pick this year. Get to Zion, because you got a bunch of crap on your team that Pat Riley can't offload.
Preacher man, I like the tease, because tampering is obviously a big topic of discussion. First of all, he's talking about, you know, another sport, so I think he's off the hook there.
Oh, I think he's completely safe.
Yeah, yeah, and also, Bryce Harper's a free agent. You get in trouble tampering-wise when you talk about a player who's already on a team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you know, Anthony Davis, when he made the comment about Paul George. He got dinged for talking with Jimmy Kimmel about Paul George,
yeah,
right? Isn't that
so.
Transaction went?
Magic Johnson's got to be careful with everything right now because they are all looking at him.
Oh, yeah, no question about it. He actually threw the Pelicans under the bus yesterday before their loss to Philly. He was asked by a reporter, did the Pelicans negotiate in good faith about Anthony Davis? And Magic said no. He took the bait. He answered it. And that's a shot across the bow.
I think that's called entrapment. I don't think he'll get in trouble with that.
No. He's not going to. There's no tampering stuff with that. But in terms of going back to the negotiating table with the Pelicans, you just told God and everybody that they didn't negotiate in good faith. So that's not how you mend the bridge. He kind of burned the bridge down.
Preacher man.
All right, well, Johnny, your coach won Eric Spoelstra.
Okay.
He decided to call out the officiating, after his Miami Heat lost a tight one to the Golden State Warriors 120-118 Sunday night. Spoelstra, who rarely talks about the referees, began talking about the free throw disparity and blown calls by the officials when meeting with the media. This is courtesy of Ira Winderman.
Yeah.
The officials, so let's be clear about it so I don't get fined. That's not why we lost. But you hate to see 26-8 when your guys are going aggressively.
He also, there was a double dribble that wasn't called at the head of the key that was as blatant of a double dribble that you could have seen. Golden State ends up getting a basket off that. Let's be real. Golden State's an NBA champion. The Heat are a middling team that now is in ninth place in the Eastern Conference. Just keep losing games, guys. Keep losing. Get Zion. Get R.J. Barrett. Get somebody. That's where I'm at with them.
Coaches love that stat, Preacher Man. Free throw attempts for me.
Oh, yeah.
Free throw attempts for them. And they, especially in playoff time, oh, man. He would have taken the fine in playoff time.
Oh, absolutely.
He would have taken the fine in playoff time.
All right, so Valentine's Day is coming up.
Uh-huh.
We all know that.
Uh-huh.
We're all husbands. We all have wives. We all
do.
Know what we have to do to stay out of the doghouse and not sleep on the couch.
Yep.
So apparently, one Russell Wilson, husband to Sierra, apparently recently purchased all of her masters from her former record label and gifted them to her in her own name, according to sources close to the matter. And then Sierra explained in a recent interview at the Makers Women Conference that she has full control over her music going forward. For whatever reason, of course, this sparked another future versus Russell Wilson debate and whether Russell Wilson is corny or not.
Here's the thing with that.
I think that's amazing.
You know what, Future? I get it. He's taking care of one of your kids. At some point, you sound like the jealous ex-boyfriend now that every time Russell Wilson does something nice for his wife, not just some rando that he's hooking up with, his wife, Sierra, you always have to pop off and say something. Is it a little bit corny to do that? Maybe.
It's not corny.
But guess what? He has the money to do it. It's something that's special to his wife, and guess what? Now she'll make more money by owning the Masters.
Who's this Future dude?
Future's a rapper.
I know. I'm just, like, bro, sit down. Find a new girl. Find somebody else.
He's found multiple girls.
All right, move on. Stop being so petty and in your face. She's with another dude. Mm-hmm. Turn the page. I don't think it's corny at all. I think that's a buzz phrase, and you know, he's, no.
Well,
Preacher Man, this is an amazing gesture. But this is the best gift he could give her. Oh, let me guess. She has a million diamond rings. She has three Lexus in the driveway.
Sure.
Buy her music back. I think it's great.
You know what corny turns into? It's the millennial phrase for thirsty as well. Because women love, oh, this guy's thirsty. Why? Because he's actually trying to take you out and do something for you. How about appreciate it or just politely say I'm not interested and move on? Because a guy likes your picture when you're in a thong bent over, he's thirsty? Oh, he's not thirsty. Russell Wilson is married to this dude. I do a ton for my wife that people, oh, that's corny. No, that's my wife, and I need to make sure I take care of her. Rick, I know you do a ton for charity. Mark, you do a ton for your wife. Paul, you do a ton for your wife. That's what happens when you get married.
So this is the Urban Dictionary definition of corny.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to be cool, but ultimately very uncool indeed, and often even extremely embarrassing. I don't believe that that definition fits Russell Wilson buying her masters back.
I don't either. Preacher Man, do you have research material? Because if not, I've got some.
Kristen Strout.
Kristen Strout.
Yes. Look at this. No pushback from Preacher.
No.
K-R-I-S-T-N-S-T-R-O-U-T.
This hour of the program brought to you by Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Tell the Truth Monday next, plus Prize Picks. You want to stay tuned for all of that on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
In moments, we're going to fire up Tell the Truth Monday. They do it in Flowery Branch after games. They test the competitive and toughness grade. They look at film, and they tell the truth. Hey, you missed a block there. Hey, your shoes weren't tied. Hey, you had skin exposed on your leg, and that's an NFL uniform violation. All that kind of stuff, man. They call it Tell the Truth Monday at Flowery Branch. So we do it here as well in the Kia Studios. And I'm locked and loaded on Prize Picks.
You are.
Blocked and loaded. I got over, I got under. And I'm playing against the house, and I feel good about it.
I keep seeing all these
confident.
People, all these people tweeting, oh, I won $1,000 on Prize Picks. I won $250. I have struggled. I keep getting one of the two or one of the two out of the three. Trey Young, I love you, dude. You're dead to me. I'm not picking you on Prize Picks anymore.
Take it back, John.
No, because he'll go 23-10 every time I don't pick him. As soon as I pick him, he goes 17-5, and the over doesn't hit.
Well, you were telling me that Justice Winslow was bamboozling you and pump faking you, and you said, he's dead to me. I'm never doing it. And you picked him last night, and he hit the over.
Well, yeah, because they were playing the Warriors, and I knew it would be a shootout, and it was. The Heat came to play for, like, 3.5 quarters.
All right, Trae Young. Tomorrow night, Lakers in town.
I'll probably stay away from him.
He's got Rondo. Rondo will be a terrific defensive point guard.
Yeah, he's a deterrent.
Trae Young is going to get a lesson.
Mm-hmm.
He is going to get a lesson tomorrow night from an artist named Rajon Rondo.
Before we get to Tell the Truth Monday, something just broke in sports a few minutes ago, and it's very, very important because we've talked about this guy a lot. Kyler Murray on social media decided that he's made it official. He will no longer be playing baseball. He is 100%, and I'm trying to pull up the exact quote from Kyler Murray, but he basically said he's 100% now dedicated his life and everything to the NFL and will be playing in the NFL. I think Mel Kiper just put him number 8 on his draft board.
I am seeing him mocked to your hometown team, the Miami Dolphins, at 13, right in front of our Atlanta Falcons. It's a no-brainer if he's there at 13 and the Dolphins are there at 13 that is a marriage.
Now,
a no-brainer.
We're going to do the mock Stephen A. Smith breakdown of Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray is a very tall quarterback, listed at 6'5". He is your prototypical pocket passer. When he gets to the fifth step, what I've seen is he can throw the ball better than anybody else. His running style is a problem because he has no speed or no elusiveness, at least what I saw. I could be wrong, but I could be right. Is that pretty close on Kyler Murray?
Bravo.
Okay.
Bravo.
That's Stephen A. Smith's breakdown of
Kyler
Murray.
Great analysis of Kyler Murray. Spot on.
6'5", pocket passer. Mm-hmm. About as close as his analysis of Dwayne Haskins earlier in the show.
So Stephen A. Was talking about how Dwayne Haskins is a better runner than a passer. I know. He actually said it. And he doubled down over the weekend on Twitter and did not come out and say, oops. But, of course, he can't say oops because it's all about bravado and swagger and, you know. And, look, I think there's a lot of legitimate stuff with Stephen A. I do. His connections are great. When he gets a scoop from, like, an NBA guy, you can believe it's pretty true. And his football takes a lot of times I think are pretty good. But, John, he's had two major gaffes.
Hunter Henry.
Hunter Henry. He said Hunter Henry's been a major part of what the Chargers have been doing.
No, he hasn't played
a single down all year, Stephen A. And you know, saying that Haskins is a better runner than a passer, you know, I don't want to dive into a guy's pocket. Maybe it's time to do less speaking engagements and watch more sports.
Well, I have found the perfect Valentine's gift that Brandon and Lindale may potentially buy for you, Rick Campbell.
What do you got? Bama bangs?
No. You are a
Disco Biscuit bangs?
No, you're a brand new Texas A&M fan.
I am. Yeah.
You've yet to buy anything, but Brandon just tweeted us this.
Shots fired.
Again, he's out of Twitter jail, so he can take shots. But this shirt screams Rick Campbell. This.
Ooh. Yeah, Texas A&M. It's maroon.
It's got some pineapple.
It's got pineapples on it. Oh, I'm wearing this to the grocery store. I'm wearing this charity.
Now,
here we
go. College Station.
Our swinger lifestyle is about to happen.
I was going to say, College Station, it would be go time for
you. Did I just say that on
there? Yeah, you did. You probably want
to. We're not swingers. I got to tell you, that was just a joke. That was just a joke. But this is a swinger. This is a swingerific Texas A&M Hawaiian shirt.
Would you actually wear that?
I would, yeah, for a joke. I would definitely wear that. I would definitely wear that.
Do you still have the pineapple shirt that we bought for you?
Yeah, it's hanging up in a closet. Probably never to be worn again.
I think you ought to wear it this weekend for Valentine's Day.
We're going to, should I say the spot we're going to?
Yeah, why not? If you're going.
Preacher Man shaking his head.
I would.
Why can't I say Preacher Man? Nobody cares.
Where are you going? I want to know.
Bistro Nico.
Of course you are.
Hi, my name is Rick Campbell. Yes, I have a reservation for 8 o'clock. Yes, for Kamala. Bistro Nico, thanks. And then Tricky Ricky shows up. Hey, what's up, gangster? I'm here. Well, Mr. Kamala, we have you seated right over there. What happened?
Yeah, exactly. Cling, clang, cling, clang, cling, clang. We hate getting seated next to the kitchen.
Yeah.
Not a good spot. Or like the front door, which all drafty. Anyway, Bistro Nico. We've been there before. It's a French restaurant, John.
Okay.
It has a bunch of food items that you can't pronounce.
Yep.
I have no idea the ingredients that are in it, but it's yummy.
It's good. I've heard it's really good. You're going to get some crepes?
It is Charity's Call. Charity's Call.
You're going to drink some buble?
Yeah, we might have a little bubbly.
Yeah, might as well.
We might have a little champagne.
Yeah, some champagne. Now, is that worse than Illinois? Or Atlanta or Salmon?
Salmon is the worst.
Salmon is dead last in the mispronunciation thing.
That'll be a slice of life tomorrow. Mark, go ahead and write this one down. The mispronounced word that aggravates you the most.
By the way,
people that say Louisville, no, it's Louisville.
Well, it's Louisville, right?
It's Louisville.
And another one is New Orleans or New Orleans, right? Like, it's New Orleans. It's kind of just one word altogether. Yeah. It's not New Orleans.
Depends on where. In Louisiana, it's Lafayette. Yeah.
Do they say Lafayette? Do some people say that?
Yeah, it's Lafayette.
That's weird. Is it Doncic or Doncic or Doncic, right?
It's don't be on my team, Itch.
Everybody's calling him Doncic. I don't mean to pump fake you, because it's Doncic, right? It's the correct pronunciation of his name. Every single broadcaster that I watch in the NBA calls him Doncic. So I'm like, now I sound like the idiot calling him Doncic. So I call him Doncic. Does that make sense?
And it's not Mariota. It's Mariota.
It is Mariota.
Yeah, it's
although
not Mariota.
I think I call him Mariota a lot.
Yeah, that's the northerneth in you that calls him Mariota.
The northern what?
Northernness.
Did you say the northerneth?
Well, yeah, maybe.
Mark Owens?
No.
10:05:10.
10:05:10. All right, let's tell the truth.
Hey, do you want to rewind and do this whole show over again? I'm pretty good with it being 105. No, how about you?
205 is even better for me. All right, let's tell the truth on a Monday. Rick Campbell, you want me to start?
Yeah,
start?
Go ahead, brother.
I'll go ahead and start. Today, and Preacher Man will laugh, Preacher Man and I, and I saw Mark Owens over the weekend, so I'll add him into this as well. He went out to the daddy-daughter skate at Sparkles, and I'm sure he's going to tell the truth about some of that coming up
Ooh,
in a minute.
Sparkles.
Preacher Man is always sacrificing time for Connor and Tyler, going all over the place, doing all kinds of stuff with them. Today, I have to make a sacrifice. It's not a sacrifice. I don't want people to think it's like that. But flag football, you know what time it is?
Championship time.
No, it's not championship.
Here we go.
It's playoff time. It's playoff time. I can't play tonight.
Why not?
Kane's team, his basketball team, they're the Indiana Pacers. They play, I believe, they beat the Raptors over the week, or they play the Raptors this weekend. But they won in their quarterfinals, so they're in the semifinals of the Swanee
nice.
Sports Academy tonight. And they play at the same time as my playoff game. So, no complaints here. Cannot wait. Kane was excited this morning. He woke up. Dad, he goes, do we play that really good team? I said, no, you'd play them in the finals. A team that some parents cried and got put together because they've all played together for years. And they didn't want to split their precious boys up.
Oh,
and they're the best
God.
Team and they're good. I take nothing from them. Kids are really good. But today I have to be dad before I can be athlete. I had to sacrifice a little time with my team. I said, look, we beat PGP all the time. We just beat them a couple of
Shot
weeks
fire.
Ago. I love the guys. Everybody in the league is really cool. Go beat them. We'll get to the semifinals and finals next week, and we'll go make things happen.
Hmm.
But today, it's all about the little dude. He looked at me last week. I felt bad. Kane is yet to score. He's a young basketball player who's learning. His growth from day one in this league till now has been skyrocket. Like, the beginning, he didn't know if he was on offense or defense. He literally was just running around like a chicken with his head cut off. He had a shot the other day and some kid Zion Williamson in him. Kane got a good shot under the bat, and this kid came with a running start and just tomahawked the block out of bounds. So Kane is yet to score. He looked at me the other day, goes, Dad, I gotta make a basket.
Has he attempted a jump shot yet?
He's had a few rim out.
Is he like throwing it like the over the shoulder heave kind of thing?
I mean, it's at nine. It's still, you know, it's still hard for him to make anything past the free throw line. Like, even at the free throw line, he's got to put some effort into it. He doesn't have a lot of strength, doesn't do a lot of push-ups yet, but I'm trying to get him there. But for today, I eschew flag football.
Nice.
Maybe for the first time ever
mm-hmm.
to be dad. But I won't be that dad today. I don't scream and yell like some of the other parents do.
What if Kane perfectly is dribbling and they call a traveling violation?
Oh, they call it because he probably traveled, so I'm not going to get mad.
All right.
And they'll give the kids a little leeway. Like, if they blatantly pick up the ball like they're Herschel Walker and they're running, no, they're going to call travel. They'll give them a half a step on the early dribble. So I'm not mad about that at all. But tonight it's all about the Pacers. Let's go Pacers, a word you've never heard me utter before.
Well, that's
they
cool.
They got to win tonight.
I'll be home watching the Pacers and Hornets.
I'd say our Pacers are better than their Pacers without Oladipo.
So should I dive in?
Jump on in.
First of all, I'm feeling the AAF. because it's football. Mm-hmm. And it's guys that we know, not a lot of guys, but it's like Trent Richardson, Christian Hackenberg, like guys we've talked about.
I'd rather not.
And they're trying
guys.
To like get their career back on track. And Aaron Murray, guys like that. I'm feeling the AAF. So I just want to put that out there. Also, I demand that Aaron Murray starts the next game for the Atlanta Legends. It is not a request. It is a demand. John, Charity and me last night watched Bohemian Rhapsody.
Mm-hmm.
What an idiot. Bohemian Rhapsody. The movie about Queen and Freddie Mercury, and I loved it. I thought it was fantastic. It was a really, really well-made historical biography of this band. People, you know, you've got A Star Is Born. It's up for an Oscar. You've got this. It's up for an Oscar. A Star Is Born, to me, is way more likely to win the Oscar than Bohemian Rhapsody because it's really cool. It's a deep dive into the history of Queen, but A Star Is Born is like, it just screams Oscars to me.
Mm-hmm.
Sad as heck ending, epic love story, really, really good acting in the whole thing. So I don't really have much beyond that. I do want to shout out Mike Thomas, videographer of the Atlanta Falcons for CW69, and I believe other stuff as well. Emmy award winning several times. Anyway, he's a brilliant dude and really cool, and he's a metalhead, and I'm a metalhead, and we've been talking like at Falcons training camp, man, let's get to a show. Well, we finally got to a show Saturday night at 37 Main in Buford, a place I'd never been to. I liked it a lot. It was 33 miles from my house, but it was an expensive Uber, but we handled it. But shout out to Mike Thomas. It was Damage Incorporated, mm-hmm. the foremost Metallica tribute band in the world.
Dude, Damage Inc., they won the Northwest Territories Tag Team Championship about 32 years
mm-hmm.
ago.
Mm-hmm. To Seek and Destroy and Enter Sandman and Hit the Lights and Kill 'Em All.
They actually
all
beat
stuff.
The Powers of Pain for the tag belts. Okay. I think that's what happened with Damage Inc. Mark Owens, tell the truth on a Monday.
Yeah, as you mentioned, we had my first, because my daughter Caroline, she's just in kindergarten, so it was our first daddy-daughter skate date. Not a daddy-daughter dance night, but a skate date. Mm-hmm. It's Sparkles, which, by the way, one thing I love about Sparkles, they have not updated their look since 1994.
Right.
And I love everything about that.
Or 1974.
Looks fantastic. It's still got, like, the neon graffiti on the walls, like, you know, painted graffiti. But kudos to them. But I realized after I left this event that I've now officially become that judgmental dad that I never thought I would be. If I saw one, I saw 30 dads sitting on the bench playing on their phones while their daughters were just skating by themselves in a circle. At one point, we were sitting down eating some pizza. There was a dad on his phone with his earbuds in watching his phone. Now, I don't know his story. Maybe it was a conference call. Maybe it was something for work. But the little girl was just sitting there by herself. Mm. This is 3 hours out of the week. You get to spend with your little girl and just go skating. You paid for it, but the food is there. You got drinks there. The music was fun. But you couldn't get off your gosh darn phone for 5 minutes to hang out with your daughter, and it broke my heart for some of these kids too. And I walked away, and again, I don't want to get in your business. I'm not going to tell you what to do, but I walked away going, I am now officially that judgmental dad, and I will be the guy that in the bleachers and at the events and the school events, watching and judging mm-hmm. and lecturing and forming an opinion about all of you. But it was a really fun event, and thank you, DDP Yoga. My back feels great today.
That is awesome. You say that, and it's funny. We had some kids that showed up about 30 minutes late for the game on Saturday. Dude, they have 10 games. You know the game starts at 9 o'clock. I have Kane there at 8:30 so he can warm up, and I actually go out there and shoot jump shots with him. Go have fun. It's me stretching and showing off that I can still shoot the basketball, and I like to, you know, bounce passes to the kids and do that. Get your kid there on time. Like, it's 9 o'clock. Tonight's different because it's 6:15 on a work day. You might have to 9 o'clock on a Saturday morning. That just means get your butt out of bed and get your kids there.
If he doesn't get his basket that he wants to, how is that going to make you feel, Dad?
I feel bad if he doesn't score. I know he wants to score in these next two games. Just one basket for the year because he's worked. When he first started, he couldn't get the ball to the rim. And now he's able to hit from about free throw line. Hey, we got one more round next, but first, Prize Picks next. I'm going to give you an over and an under to take tonight. Oh, we each got an over and an under. That's next. Sports Radio 92.9, the game. Deposit instant match. So a $50 deposit will get you $100 in promo money to play with. I had bad luck last night. I had a nice little amount wagered on my over-unders. I took two overs. I had Trey Young and Justice Winslow. Justice Winslow came through. Trey Young did not come through. He's close, but he did not come through. Came up a couple of points short. So it's a simple game. It's over-unders on fantasy points against the house. Again, go to PrizePicks or MyPrizePicks.com on the internet. All right, Rick, hit me, baby, one more time. What do you have for your over-unders today?
Andre Drummond. I love him, but the number's too high, ladies and gentlemen. 48.3. And this is an accumulation of...
I have Andre Drummond under 48.3.
This is an accumulation of your points, your rebounds, your blocks, your assists, your steals, all that kind of stuff. 48's a big number for a guy, John, that averages...
12 points?
I know it's like 17 points and like 15 rebounds. You double that up, that's like 32. You know, he does block and he does steal, but 48, I don't know. So I'm taking the under on Andre Drummond. It's just too big of a number for me.
I am doing the same. I saw that and I said, wow, he's not a 30, 25-point-a-game guy.
Nope.
I know he gobbles up rebounds like Pac-Man.
He has 20-20s, but not every night.
No, 48's a little too high for me as well. Who else do you have for your prize pick of the day?
And I'm going over on Dennis Smith Jr.
Okay.
Is that who you're picking?
I did not have
All right, Dennis. Good. I like to give the people some different names to chew on. Dennis Smith Jr. in four games with the New York Knicks, just traded there in the Kristaps Porzingis trade. 19.5 points, 3.5 rebounds, 6.5 assists, mm-hmm. like 1.5 steals, and like 1.5 threes. He's killing it, okay? And in the, John, in the last game, it was against Toronto, right? Crazy good defensive team.
Right.
He shot 4 of 17, just 13 points. The previous two games against Detroit, not a good defensive team. He scored 31 and 25.
Right.
All he's got to do is get to 37. So I see him well into the 20s in points. He'll have between 6 and 10 assists. I like Dennis Smith Jr. a lot. I like to take under, sir, but I'm taking the over 37 fantasy points for Dennis Smith Jr.
Give me some of the Kamala juice, Kamala, because I'm taking a big number here. I'm going to take Giannis Antetokounmpo. I'm going to take the over on Antetokounmpo, 56.2. He's balling. He's an all-star. He's like me, Shaq Fu out. So I'm going to take Giannis Antetokounmpo. The correct way to pronounce
it. Don't be mad. That's actually how Shaq says
it. Yeah, he does say
Antetokounmpo.
Yeah.
But actually,
I want to take the over on Giannis tonight. I just got a feeling against Chicago, who really doesn't care what's going on. Giannis goes out and puts up like 30, 10, and 10, somewhere in there. So give me the over on Antetokounmpo.
I like it.
By the way, my barber shop, and I don't know when this picture was taken, but a Fadeologist up in Lawrenceville, they put out a picture, because I went there Friday. Kane got his hair cut, had to look fresh for his basketball game. Who's in their barbershop? Shaquille O'Neal getting his hair cut. Yeah, I'll show you the picture on Instagram. If you're up on my side of town.
I'm pretty sure Shaq's got a spot up there.
There you go. There's Shaquille O'Neal getting his hair cut.
Now, did you talk to him?
No, I wasn't there. I think this was on Saturday. I went to the barbershop Friday.
Oh.
But they posted the picture on Friday, and I said, you got to be kidding me.
That's awesome.
Shaquille O'Neal, the barbershop that I go to.
He's America's guest. I mean, he's not like, I'm too big. I mean, he just lives his life.
Well, I mean, he is too big. You probably have to bring in a bigger chair.
No, but I mean, like, too famous to just go get my hair cut. No, he doesn't roll that way. And Shaq does his own driving,
mm-hmm.
Loves to drive fast cars. I'm not saying he drives everywhere all the time, but I know that Shaq, anyway, too much about Shaq. That's my guy.
Take Antetokounmpo.
My guy. Love that dude.
Anytime you can do a Shaq impersonation is okay with me.
You know what we have not gotten enough into? We've talked a lot about the Hawks being so bad at home, being so lousy defensively. We talked about Brooks Reed going to Arizona following Robert Alford. Talked a lot about Fromm and Fields. And obviously, Justin Fields getting the waiver from the NCAA mm-hmm. to be a Buckeye this year and play. We have not talked a whole lot about this Tom Crean thing, John.
No, we have not.
And what he said about the players. And obviously, we have talked about Anthony Edwards. I'm very, very excited about the Ant-Man, Anthony Edwards. Right now, he's the number one Georgia recruit, number two recruit overall in the country. He committed to Georgia this morning, and NBADraft.net, one of my favorite NBA mock draft services, has him number one overall in the 2020 NBA mock draft. And this one and done, possible first overall pick in the draft, a la Duncan, Iverson, Andrew Wiggins, LeBron, and all of them, is going to UGA. I think it's awesome.
Highest ranked recruit since they've started taking recruiting rankings. I know Dominique went to Georgia. They did not have the sophisticated recruiting rankings.
He would have been a five-star, my friend.
Yeah, I'm sure Dominique would have been right up there. But this is the highest-ranked recruit that Georgia's ever gotten.
Yep.
Not in football, but in basketball. They have the 12th-ranked class now overall. So Tom Crean this year has been brutal. It has not been good. They're 1-9 in conference play. Not what you want to do. And Tom Crean's used to winning basketball games. You bring in that type of class, suddenly people get interested in your program really quickly.
Super quick. I just want to say this. This get washes all of losses away this year. Every single loss, every missed jump shot is washed away with this news of getting the Ant-Man.
What's going on back there? Mark just dapped up Paul. Oh, he paid him. He paid him his money.
Ding, 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 ding,
ding. Oh, he took 3 months. And yeah, did you give him like six extra bucks on interest?
Something, something, something.
Hey, at least he didn't give you a... we got fake breaking news.
Preacher Man got his money.
I asked him, where was this in the last segment? I can tell the truth if you paid up.
It only took, when was the end of football season?
Like January 8th.
Yep. So, what, 2 months?
That's only like a month.
Yeah, no, it's a month. Your math ain't good either.
You were actually more reluctant than a guy who ist and moaned having to go down to the ATM to pay me off for a Josh Gordon bet. Right? Remember that?
You got your money, all right? Back to the regular.
I've realized Paul keeps winning all these bets between us when it comes to monetary bets.
Not all of them.
Most of them. He's winning.
I'm about to win another one here.
What's that?
Luka Doncic.
Yeah. Yeah, I took Alabama. Yeah. Yet I picked Clemson in all these pools I was in. I'm an idiot.
I'm not believing UCF's the national champions anymore. Let me down this year.
You had the first pick?
Yeah.
And you went Bama?
Yeah.
I'm not mad at you.
No, me neither.
You went Bama. It's chalk. It's as chalky as chalk can be.
Well, what's not chalk is the comments that were made by Tom Crean. We talked about these a little bit earlier on. He made these over the weekend as Georgia loses another basketball game. He goes, it's all on me because I'm the one who decided to keep these guys. It's all on me, and I get it. Because the last thing I can do with making decisions on keeping guys in the program in the spring is now get overly mad at them because I'm the one who made the decision. So I live with it every day. And it doesn't mean they're not great kids, but very few programs, when there's a takeover, say, okay, when you guys who haven't done it at any point really in their career, a lot of those guys, they move on. That's what happens when there's a job change. And I didn't do that. So I'm not going to complain. And we're just going to have to do everything we can to fix it. Well, that
he
includes
just complained.
I know. Yeah, you're not going to complain, but you had like an entire paragraph of complaining
and throwing his kids under the bus.
It's like there's the bus, and
I'm not going to let look. We handle this blow by blow. I'm a big Tom Crean fan.
Me too.
I'm a big fan of his. So this is a frustrated coach who is looking at his win loss percentage dip and dip. And dip, and it's driving him nuts. And he's used to winning.
Yep.
And he's not. And that's just a frustrated coach. And that's a knee-jerk reaction. I bet he regrets saying all that.
I'm sure.
And so, like, it's a small mistake. It's not a huge mistake. It reminds me of when Tom Herman, in his first year at Texas, was talking about, I can't come in here and sprinkle fairy dust on all these guys. That was a shot at his team. He threw his guys under the bus in saying that. What do you mean fairy dust? Come on, dude.
Well, guess what? He sprinkled fairy dust on them this year and had them a lot more competitive, and suddenly Texas, one of the Vogue picks to be a top 10 team and playoff contender moving forward. Here's the thing. All of that was said when the Ant-Man signs with Georgia, and he gives a verbal today, and he had his family there and everything else. Georgia's basketball fortunes, unlike football where it might take two or three recruiting classes to really get your guys in there, you get one great basketball recruiting class, you're in the NCAA tournament, suddenly you're the team that everybody's talking about. They've already got three highly ranked recruits, including the highest ranked recruit they've ever had coming to Athens. That's huge.
And 2 4 stars have already committed during the early signing period. To John's point, the Duke Blue Devils, the 1 year, they had Justice Winslow, Jolly Okafor, and Tyus Jones. Ding! They won it all.
Mm-hmm.
And they may do that again this year with the best recruiting class in the country, one of the best of all time.
And how many times
with
has
Zion
Kentucky,
and RJ and Reddish and all these guys.
How many times has Kentucky been a top five team with all freshmen?
Well, and then you remember that Coach Cal is stalking the sidelines and making terrible moves and not adjusting and melting down at bad calls. And, oh, yeah, Kentucky lost in the tournament again.
Yeah, but they're
sorry, UK fans. You know what's up.
If Georgia makes it to the tournament,
it'd be a big deal.
Yeah, what if they made the tournament two times in, like, the last 12 years or something like that? They won that fluky SEC championship when the tornado hit downtown. They've been three times, Tate's telling me, in the last 12 or 13. You make the tournament as Jordan, and I know Mark Fox made it 1 year as like an 11 or a 12 seed, and they got bounced in the opening round. Start making the tournament consistently. Tom Crean, they'll have a statue erected outside of a Stegman.
Ant-Man, Ant-Man, Ant-Man.
Does Ant-Man, the comic book hero, have like a theme song? Because that's what Ant-Man needs to have every time he walks to the floor.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.